Money Psychology. Money Psychology.
Every time you reach for your wallet, check your balance, or make a money choice, it isn't just numbers, it's memory. I'm Elliot Graves. You're listening to Money Psychology. Okay, the thing I keep seeing, even in my own life, is how old lessons sneak into new decisions without asking permission. Right. And that's why I wanted to sit with the hidden scripts in our financial independence paths. Same destination, totally different internal engines. One person is chasing freedom, another is outrunning a fear they learned at 7. That lands. We move through money with a storyline we didn't exactly author. I see clients following a plot handed down through family rules or unspoken house laws, then wondering why the ending doesn't feel like theirs. And from the outside, you can't tell. Two people both aiming for FIRE look identical on paper. High savings, automated investing, but one feels light, the other clenches at every receipt. Which is why I want us to name what usually stays implied, the emotions under the spreadsheets. What are the expectations, the loyalties, the cultural shoulds, steering the wheel while we swear the GPS is just math? Let me put a stake in the ground. What if the biggest obstacle isn't income or budgeting skill, but a childhood narrative that's still running the show? Exactly. And that's the part I'm most interested in hearing. Movements like FIRE fascinate me, because beneath the calculators, there are mass attempts to rewrite the life playbook. I see that rebellion too, pushing back against the default of 40 or 50 years on someone else's schedule, then freedom if you make it to the finish line. And here's my question, the therapy one. When you revolt against one script, what's the quieter script underneath? Research from folks like Sonia Britt on how money beliefs travel through families keeps pointing me there. Sometimes that new script is joyful, building purpose. Sometimes it's flight, bolting from bill fights at the kitchen table with the ache of instability. So two people both save 70%. One is choosing spaciousness. The other is bracing for impact. From the curb, it looks the same. Same savings rate, same index funds, maybe rentals on the side. But the structures they're constructing are different. One feels like a home, the other like a bunker. And a bunker means you keep living like the war isn't over. You can even hit your FIRE number, the 4% guideline often linked to William Bengen, and still feel pinned behind sandbags, always scanning for the next hit. Independence on paper, but the scarcity loop keeps whispering, not enough, it could vanish. Don't trust it. Which is why financial independence gets slippery. The math is straightforward. The lived experience isn't. A 25-year-old with 1,000 coming in passively and 1,000 going out is technically free. If their inner narrative is fear, though, are they free at all? I'd say no. They dropped the boss and hired their anxiety. So the real project isn't only asset building. It's story mining. What are you making and why? Is it shelter for the future or a monument to an old wound? And how do you tell the difference when you're the architect and the occupant? You read the blueprints, not just the total. That's where the sub-styles, lean FIRE, fat FIRE, coast FIRE, barista FIRE, become revealing. They're not just tactics. They're dialects in the same emotional language. Take lean FIRE. For some, it's Vicky Robbins' spirit, enough, time rich, thing light. For others, it's a protective crouch. If I need almost nothing, no one can pull the rug again. One person is right-sizing life. The other is self-shrinking to stay safe. Same lentils, different feeling. On the other end, fat FIRE can be generous abundance, savoring and sharing. Or it can be overcorrection. I'll build a citadel so grand it proves I'm safe. Same walls, gold trim, and then the forums, the subreddits and chat threads become mirrors. Helpful, but sometimes they echo the very fear you're trying to unlearn. If your core story is never enough, a community chasing ever lower withdrawal rates, not 4%, but 3-point-something, can harden that fear into doctrine. So you trade the mainstream script for a niche one and still don't hear your own voice. That's why Coast FIRE and Barista FIRE feel hopeful to me. They're negotiations, not ultimatums. Say more. They ditch the all-or-nothing frame. Save hard early so future you can pick work with meaning and margin, maybe part-time, without carrying the whole load. That's not escape. That's redesign. It integrates. The problem isn't work. It's work without agency. This path keeps you in the world, without locking you behind your own drawbridge. And it's practical. In the U.S., Barista FIRE often answers healthcare head-on. Think part-time at Starbucks for benefits. That isn't fear. It's sharp problem-solving. It also leaves space for life to happen. Detours, kids, aging parents, instead of sprinting to a finish and bolting the gate. Exactly. Less dogma, more fit-to-body tailoring. If you zoom out on all this, bunkers, redesigns, the middle paths, what's the first blind spot people hit when they start? They forget the traveler changes. You set a target with today's psychology, then the saving, questioning, and simplifying remake you. You can arrive and realize the outfit you sewed for future me doesn't fit. So, the job isn't to worship the original outline. It's to keep asking if the person you are now still belongs in that plot. Yeah, regular check-ins. Is this plan still protective or just isolating? And the courage to revise, cross out a chapter you thought was essential, and write another. Which makes me think the phrase financial independence misleads. It sounds static. What we're talking about is financial self-awareness and ongoing practice. Freedom as alignment, not escape. Less about being separate from everything. More about being rooted in your values and your real story. Right. Know the narrative you're in and peep the pen. So next time a money move surprises you, an impulse buy or an ultra-cautious hedge, pause and ask, whose voice am I obeying and what early memory is it tied to? That's the first turn toward choosing from the present instead of reenacting the past.